All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome back to Daily Journey. Today is, what's today? March 27. I wasn't able to post yesterday for various reasons, but I am able to post today. And I'm not alone today. Julia's with me. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Julia Szymanski is joining me on this podcast. I have a guest, and it's the weirdest thing for me to think about. Julia, introduce yourself. How about that?
Hi, I'm Julia Szymanski. Scott, I'm so excited to be a part of your super popular podcast.
I think half of the listenership of this podcast is on the call right now. It's you and me. That's it.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right.
I have invited Julia to have a conversation with me that I'm calling this a segment. It's called Two Questions. Because I said, Julia, ask me two questions. And we'll see where that conversation leads us. This might be a terrible idea, or this might be really fun. I don't really know. So,
it's gonna be great.
But Julia lives in my neighborhood, on the other side of my neighborhood. You have three little girls. How old are your kids?
We have two girls that are 4 years old, our twins, Pippa and Mila, and a almost 10-month-old baby girl, London. I can't believe she's almost 10 months.
That's crazy.
I know. It's crazy.
And what's your better half doing these days? What's Joe up to?
He is working nonstop.
Oh,
nonstop.
Really?
He's an assistant principal at the high school, so he's working from home, but they are just trying to figure everything out with how do we teach kids right now? And what do we do with, you know, everything from AP testing to spring sports to are we coming back this year? Are we not? You know, just all these questions that don't
SAT things, right? And like graduation, college prep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's in a lot of Zoom meetings, creating videos to kind of keep parents and kids updated just on what's going on, as well as just trying to keep the connection between kids because he knows, you know, that's huge right now for all these kids that are home in isolation.
And Joe's a big fan of film and video, so.
He loves it. He loves it. He loves creating them. He loves being in them. He loves editing them. So
we joke that Joe's ultimate goal in life is to go viral.
Yeah. Yes. Who knows? Maybe his dream will come true one day. Who knows?
So before we get to our questions, I just want to ask, I would love to know about your first, I don't know, when mark the moment where this experience started for you guys. Like maybe it was the moment you said, all right, we're going to be stuck in our house, or the moment that we go, oh, we better take this seriously. Or like, do you remember when that was or what that was like for you guys? Because I think everybody's got a little bit of different day and experience around this.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was yours?
I think before, you know, when Governor Granholm came on that Thursday night and she
Governor
had announced.
Governor Whitmer? Or was Governor Granholm early on?
What did I say? Granholm? Oh, my word. What decade am I living in? Whitmer came on and announced, you know, schools are going to be closing. We had already started kind of socially isolating ourselves a little bit before then, with my parents having some compromised immune systems, just kind of staying home. But at that moment, once we heard that, we were like, okay, this is, Joe's going to be home a lot more. We're kind of in this a little bit more for the long haul and kind of just ourselves just taking it really seriously. With
so that was a week ago Thursday.
Yeah. Right.
It seems like a month ago.
I know. Well, it was 2 weeks ago, right?
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Was it? I don't even know what's happening anymore.
I know. What day is it? I don't even know. I mean, I know it's Friday, but.
So have you like, I mean, Mila and Pippa are four, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, have you tried to explain or does life kind of feel normal to them right now?
Yeah. You know, their schedule isn't as interrupted as other kids for sure. Those who are pulled out of school. But Joe, you know, that first week of Joe being home was definitely different. You know, why is he home? What's he doing? And they just think it's playtime because if daddy's home, then we can just play. So, that took a little adjusting too, but other than that, it's, you know, now they're questioning like, why can't we go to grandma's house? Why can't we go to the park? Why can't we go to the library?
So what do you tell them?
We just talk that there's lots of germs out there. Like there's lots of germs and we can't go anywhere till those germs are gone. And so we've had a lot of lot of conversations around that, and they do okay with it. We get outside a lot, yeah, and sidewalk chalk and play in our backyard, do bubbles. And
are you worried that they're going to be like 10 years old and hypochondriacs because you spent like 2 or 3 months just going, there's lots of germs out there. Don't look out for the germs.
Right. They wash their hands. They sing ABCs twice. And yeah, that, I mean, yeah, they've got a whole routine. Yeah. No, I mean, we try not to, you know, overload them with too much information, because what do they need to know right now? But
right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely know there's something going on.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to our two questions. I have no idea what you're going to ask me. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. But okay. I gave you two questions. So what do you want to ask?
All right. So my first one, you know, there's kind of, you know, a little bit going on in the world right now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, have you have any feelings of anxiety or worry with everything that we're experiencing? And if you have, how are you navigating through those feelings?
Well, that's a good question. Part of me wants to answer that question and say, I think I have less anxiety than a lot of other people do. I tend to not be prone to, like, to be easily anxious about stuff. One of my like top three spiritual gifts that's always been true for me is faith. And so the way that kind of plays out for me often is just like, I don't know, I'm not too worried about it. And that's not always a great thing either, right? So I tend to believe everything's probably going to work out okay, which sometimes doesn't allow me to like actually process things. And it keeps me disconnected from other people who might be feeling a lot more anxiety, you know, of like, what I try not to do is be like, oh, it's not a big deal, right? Because for somebody it is. But this particular case is a big deal, whether I feel that way or not, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So I think the things that I haven't felt a particular fear around, like my own Isaac Jonas Cindy me, like our own health kind of stuff. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's kind of normal for our community right now. We're not too mm-hmm. worried about ourselves.
Right.
I mean, most of like our community in Jamestown is a lot of, we're between the ages of 55 and 25, right? And so we feel fairly invincible. You know, you can judge that when you go to the store, you know, if you got a
pick-up
and it's people. So I haven't been worried about that. I think I've had moments of, I wonder what our financial situation is going to be at for church and how that's going to affect my, you know, my salary and my pay. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have a lot of that anxiety, but it's like every now and then when I think about it, I'm like, who knows?
Yeah.
What that, and I'm not really qualified to do anything beyond what I'm doing. So,
you're pastor for life.
Kinda, right? You know, and so I don't spend a lot of time in that world because there's nothing I can do about it, and that's mm-hmm. It's so unknown anyway. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of even me like feeling afraid of that? I think I have a little more anxiety around, and there's so much, what am I doing that's going to accidentally put somebody else in jeopardy? Mm-hmm. Right. So like, you know, my basement mm-hmm. flooded last weekend. I had to go to the hardware store and pick up some stuff. And mm-hmm. all I'm doing when I'm walking around is like trying to visually measure the space between me and another person.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I can't do that, when I have to walk up to the counter and pay, you know, I'm like, just keep the change, or do I use my credit card? Is that so like have all these micro fears of like, is this one thing I do going to cascade exponentially into, you know, like I was reading a tweet yesterday of Andy Slavin is a guy who worked with Obama on the, like the Affordable Care Act. And he's putting out really good content right now about what's really happening and all this kind of stuff in terms of helpful content.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who knows the medical field and stuff. And he was kind of talking about how like one person infects like 40 people who infects 4,000 people. Right. Like,
wow.
So if you're doing the 1% on some of this stuff, it's just like, you could save 40 people's lives by just staying home. So I think my fear is more about like, what's the unknown of my actions in the moment?
Right.
I don't know if you feel that at all. Is that something, or am I alone in that?
Yeah, no, I think it's really is thinking about those things that you're like, I never had to think about, like you said, like if I'm giving the cashier change, like, do I really want that change back? Those things that you've never had to think about, or do I really want my receipt? Cause I'm not going to come back and return my milk, you know?
Yeah. And is there like an internal clock countdown timer going, how long have I been like near this person? And that's the kind of crazy making stuff. Like I'll feel that. I think the other thing I fear is, you know, honestly, I fear we're going to not see this thing through in a way that's going to be most helpful. You know, today there's a lot of talk in the last couple of days about, well, let's make sure we reopen everything by Easter. And I'm not sure if that's like a great idea, and I don't have the information on that, but it doesn't feel like, I'm fearful that we're going to pull this thing down and then go back to life as normal. And that's going to ramp this thing back up again. Right. Like I'm a little more anxious about, I don't mind doing church in homes the way we're doing it and figuring this out. Man, I have a lot more anxiety of like, what if we have to do this 2 or 3 times, you know, and we're in and out and back and forth. And what does that mean for schools and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's like there's a global thing around that in terms of, and then there's also my own personal, always looking around going, what am I doing? And how is that going to impact somebody? And is that a good or a bad thing?
Right. Trying your best to abide by the rules, but knowing you have to live life at the same time. And
well, and all we do is interpret rules. We're like, well, what does that really mean? Like, why do I have to stay at my house? I'm trying to like keep my social interactions low. So if I'm just interacting with one person, that's probably right. Well, then it's 2, and then, but really, I don't know who you've interacted with, right?
Right. So. Right. Exactly. Right.
I would imagine yours is a little different, right? You said you got parents, right, who have health issues. Like, has that been on your mind a lot?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, we haven't been there in 2 weeks. Thankfully, they're doing okay. They're okay right now, and they're getting their groceries delivered. And Joe ran to Costco yesterday, so he got some stuff for them and sanitized it in the car for them and left it on their front porch. And and they're able to take care of themselves fine. It's just, you know, just even that isolation for them. You know, my dad kind of still goes back and forth to work. He is an onion farmer, and they've been extremely busy with all these stores needing so much produce. Yeah. So he's been needed, but also he has some health issues too. So they try and quarantine him, but we're worried about, you know, back and forth with him coming home to see my mom. Is he bringing something to her? So we try and keep our distance, even though we know we've been quarantined for a good 2 weeks now, myself and the girls at least. We do a lot of FaceTime and a lot of videos, and once it gets warmer we'll probably go play in our yard and wave. I mean, right? Like, what more do you do right now? But I think just the mental part of that is really hard for myself, and just wanting to be there for them. And then I think for them too, knowing that.
Yeah, Cindy has had a couple of people that she's close to that are going through some really heavy stuff right now that have nothing to do with like this health stuff. Sure. And she's like, it just stinks because I can't be with them.
Yes.
And like looking at them over a screen isn't the same. And like that breaks her heart, and that's really hard. Are your parents like the biggest fear that you have at the moment, or are there other things that cause you anxiety?
I mean, I would say that probably is my biggest thing right now. You know, I think like you had said too, like what are the big term, the long-term ramifications of all of this? You know, you can't help but think those things, and not only just what is this doing to the people of America and how many people are going to be affected by this. And, but then, you know, our economy and just people losing jobs and all that, just that weighs heavy on my heart, I think too. But
it's really easy to go exponentially bigger in your anxieties, right? To like build, well, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then and we don't know what's out there. We have no idea. Yeah,
totally. Right. And then it makes me step back and I say, well, guy, like I've never seen something like this in my lifetime, and how grateful I am that I haven't, you know, that I've lived a life that I've lived for so long. And been so spoiled, you know, like in all reality. So it also has brought me back to a place of just being thankful and grateful for the life I've had. And then also, you know, this is hard, but we can do it. You know, we have a home, we have a bed to sleep in at night. We have food, we have each other. And so whether it's through Zoom meetings like this, you know, where you're connecting with friends and family, I think there's just so much more to be thankful for right now too.
Yeah. Well, that's a good first question. Question number one, what's question number two?
Well, question number two, you know, we're all kind of stuck inside a little bit more these days. I'm wondering what has been the biggest adjustment for the Pontier family?
For the Pontier family, biggest adjustment. The Pontier family is a family who actually really loves being at home. my favorite part about going anywhere is looking forward to being home.
So you live for this. You were like made for this.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, like there is some preparation that has been helpful. I took a sabbatical 3 years ago. And I didn't go anywhere on that sabbatical, you know, like part of what I was doing was learning how to rest and how to stop. And like, I faced some inner like anxiety around getting my to-do list done because the to-do list ran out at about 6 weeks halfway through. Right. Sure. Yeah. So it's like, I had to learn what it was like to just be present every day. And so in some ways I feel very equipped for this going, this is fine.
Yeah.
You know, Cindy is kind of that way too. I mean, she, like, we do the bigger adjustment for us together is going like the social interaction. Like, we FaceTimed with you guys the other day, right? Like, that was so great because we can't get out and be with friends, and we do like to do that.
Right.
I think the bigger adjustment is because we're not a rigid family. After about a half a week, we're going, all right, we have to put some structure around these days. And without school and without like my work and my schedule, I mean, I'm a pretty rhythmic guy. Like, I have my rhythms. And so the adjustment has been to like, okay, those are all different. I'm going, so it's like, I'll come down like Mondays and Tuesdays are a lot of these kind of meetings for me. But like, I'll come up every couple of hours just to like engage with my family and then for a while. But for my kids, it's like without, when they're not in school, like summers and weekends are really kind of lazy for us, right? Like, we don't try to schedule. My kids aren't involved in a whole lot of stuff that need a lot of scheduling, things like that. We like to go to grandparents' house. We like to see other people. And but now it's like, yeah, sure, they'd play Minecraft all day if I let them.
They're and in like, the glory.
What's the case to be made for a bedtime, right?
Right.
Know, they're almost 14 and 13. And so it's like, so we've had to try to go, what's the, you know, all right, 9:30. We want you to be in bed 9:30. Cause I want to be with your mom too and have a conversation with her.
Yeah.
Around and things like that.
Right.
But even the other night, like, I was watching Source Code on TV with Cindy and it was about 9:30. It was kind of bedtime. And I'm like, all right, bedtime. And they come out of whatever they're doing and they just sit down and watch the movie with me till like 10:30. I'm like, yeah. So like trying to help them build a rhythm. We're not good at that as a family. We're not good at, some people are like, I mean, Julia, you're a teacher, right? So it's like, you know how to put a schedule together and things like that. But I've seen a lot of that online and like, here's the schedule you can put your kids on and it's every half hour. And like, there's no hope for us to live that out. So Cindy and I have kind of been talking around it a little bit. And then this week in particular, we started something new with it. And I'm always the one who kind of pushes that because I'm the more rhythmic guy, but I asked her to do it. I said, Cindy, what can you just put a draft together of what this might look like? And she was really smart about it. She basically went, let's just break the day up into like morning, noontime, afternoon.
Yes.
And say, you have to do just these two things during that time.
Sure.
So it's like, you need to read for a half an hour sometime in the morning. You need to do some physical activity for a half hour sometime in the afternoon. And you need to do something educational. I don't care how long it takes, sometime in the afternoon. Like things like that, which have been, you know, we anticipated a little argument, right? To do that and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they have a little box that they can check. And it's totally up to them when they do it, right? They can blast it right in a row, right at the beginning of the morning, you know, or at the beginning of the afternoon, or they can wait till later.
I think that's so great because, like, I mean, all those schedules you see over social media, I think while they look beautiful and great, they are totally unattainable even for those of us who are teachers, right? Like you,
Talk to me in 2 weeks when you're all just like still wearing the same clothes and you don't even care anymore.
Right. So, I mean, giving them some flexibility and when they do it and how they do it, like at least, you know, it, I think that's helpful.
And every family is different. Like the culture of your family, you know, is going to be different than mine. And so falsely impose like a rigidity to it is a surefire way for us to feel like we're doing this quarantine.
Yes. Right. Well, and like your podcast was a couple of days ago, like those supposed to's, right? I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And I felt like, God, you know, that was a good example of like so many people feeling like a failure because they're supposed to be being a parent being a teacher and being working from home. You know, it's just, there's so much.
Do you have any supposed-as that you feel?
I'm supposed to clean out some closets. Yep. And I'll get to it eventually.
Does Joe feel like that? I'm like, in his role as a assistant principal?
I think just feeling like just the stress, I think there's just that level of stress of feeling like they are supposed to have answers that they don't have answers to.
Right.
So, I mean, and
like,
they
when
know
are we going to come back to school? What am I supposed to do with the kids in the meantime? And
So a lot of those things, and they know like we won't have these answers, but I think that a lot of the administrators, they're putting in a ton of time in right now trying to just do what they can to find answers, but also just live in that unknown and alleviate people's fears and answer questions the best they can. So,
Well, you know, in terms of things that are changing for us, you know, not a lot. I think the bigger, you know, we're trying to work the schedule thing well and appropriately, but also we have all four of us in the house all the time. And that's been an adjustment too, right? Like, you know, like my kids are old enough where they kind of take up a little more space, even emotionally.
Right. Sure. You
know, like with a teenager sometimes, like your conversations feel crazy making. And there's a lot of emotional charged behind anything we kind of say to each other sometimes. So I would assume that's a little different with Mila and Pippa in London.
A little. Yeah. Right. I mean, the things we might be arguing about are, you know, who gets to be Elsa today and who gets to be Anna, you know, I mean,
we've had that argument, but that's, you know,
right.
It's different. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's different. So for sure.
So we've had to practice a lot more grace with each other, I think, and really encourage that in our kids and going, listen, we're all figuring this out. Especially the weekend, you know, last weekend when my basement flooded, like half of our livable kind of like usable square footage is gone.
Yes.
And one of my kids got really anxious about this, about the money of it, about what it's destroying in his room and about all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, this is a high stress moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Cindy and I are busy trying to clean the basement up, and they were smart enough to go, I need to go somewhere else and lock myself in a different room and just not engage for a little while.
And
things like that were pretty helpful, I think. But like, yeah, we all have to navigate what it's like to live in the same space together. The phrase I've been using is families are developing a new layer of intimacy these days, right? Forced intimacy.
It's true, right? Whether we like it or not. And yeah, I see a lot of people bringing back the good old games of Twister and Boggle and Trouble, you know, and all those things that
we've got a stack of board games that we just pick one from every day kind of thing.
Yeah. You guys are good gamers though. I mean, I bet you could play a different game for a month.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, and it's helpful that my kids are old enough to engage in that too. So yeah. Whereas you're busy playing Candyland a million times a day.
Yep.
Like that's not so fun.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That or Baby Shark Trouble.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you guys? I'm assuming part of that is just having Joe home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think having Joe home, you know, we've gotten into a better routine now. Having him home in the beginning where he's got a lot of these Zoom meetings, he's got to be behind closed doors, you know, it's got to be quiet. Managing some of that and also getting him to realize that not every day when he's home is a Saturday, you know, he can't cook pancakes for breakfast and then give them cinnamon rolls right after that if they finish their pancakes. And, you know, it's just those things where I'm like, okay, we still got to gotta maintain some normalcy. But
yeah, for the most you part, have a rhythm in your home as yeah. you're leading your home day to day. And he's got a rhythm of how he engages with his work. And now those things are kind of like coming yes. up against each other a little bit.
Right. And when he engages with the girls, I mean, you know, on the weekends, we're a little more lax and we'll, you know, go do whatever. Or, yeah. I don't know. I'm not a stickler where they can't have, you know, waffles with syrup for breakfast, but I like to choose a little more healthier things and I let Joe do his thing on Saturday. And so just sometimes those things have been a little bit of an adjustment, but other than that, it's just trying to keep consistency for all of us and mm-hmm. think of new things to do outside or inside. Every day is a new day over here.
Man, all we can do is take it one day at a time at this point too, because it is new every, in some ways it's now the same every day, but also we're sitting here going, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Everything changes, right? Yeah. Stays the same yet changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those are two questions, two good ones.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Thanks for saying yes to this. Just having a conversation with me.
You're welcome. It's fun. I enjoy your podcast every day. Kind of just checking in with people. I think it's great.
Well, I think the thing we've learned in this is that we're all isolated, but we're not alone. So I think it's helpful to have any form of communication and connection. So yes. I appreciate you're willing to do a little experiment and say, I don't know, let's have two people on this thing. Yeah. If anybody's listening and wants to be part of two questions, I can do this again. I think this went really well. This was fun.
I do too. I think it's great. I had a lot of fun. This was great.
Maybe you'll think of two more questions at some point.
Maybe. Okay. And if I do, I'll let you know.
I'm hesitant to ask Joe. I don't know what would happen if I put him on the mic.
It could be a very interesting podcast. I'm sure he could come up with something.
I'm sure.
Something creative. Who knows?
All right. Well, this has been a little longer than usual. So I hope folks have been listening and enjoying a conversation with two people who aren't in their home. That seems like a unique thing in our world today. So, you know, I've had a lot of fun. Thank you, Julia Szymanski, for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me.
Moving forward, I'm probably not going to be doing these podcasts over the weekend, but I'll try to stick to my Monday through Friday rhythms as much as I possibly can. So thanks for joining us Friday, March 27. If you have any feedback, if you want to connect, you can email me scott.pontier@harborchurches.org. If you want to be on the podcast for two questions and follow after our trailblazer, Julia, let me know. All right. Have a great day, everyone.